Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of the Liberty Roundup from the Libertarian Party of Greater Peoria. My name is Eric Stahl, and joining me tonight, immediately to my left, is...
I'm Donnie Henry. I'm the chairman of the Libertarian Party of Greater Peoria.
Tom Inman, just a Libertarian.
All right.
I'm Dana Olson. I'm the secretary of the Libertarian Party of Greater Peoria and the division director of field operations in the Libertarian Party of Illinois.
That's a lot of stuff, man. Dana's a very important person here. Yeah, we're glad to have all you guys here. Thanks for listening. I do have to apologize. Apparently, if I don't show up to a meeting, they don't do a podcast.
Oh, yeah.
Thanks a lot for that,
Dana. We kind of need you, buddy. You're the voice of liberty.
Yeah, so this is the first podcast we've had in 2 months, and we'll also be doing another Liberty Plays podcast here, hopefully another week or so, talking about more pressing issues going on in the state. Donnie, you had to start the meeting off tonight talking about Bill Weld. What were we, 2 minutes into the meeting and you said Bill Weld?
Look, here's the thing about Bill Weld, is that I saw an opportunity with Bill Weld and I just saw how poorly we treated him as a party, you know, and I thought it was important because in what we did, when I asked you guys, we always do a question when we introduce people, and the question was what would be so bad for someone to have in a position on that you wouldn't vote for him? And people had different things, and I'm okay with people having certain lines that you do not cross. But I think if someone is generally on our side and they don't have anything that's that offensive, we should treat them and welcome them and try to teach them instead of just treating them like shit. And I think the party treated them like shit.
I think it comes down to the question of, are you libertarian enough?
Yeah.
And I hate that question so much.
Yeah.
And I think that's what he was judged against. He's not libertarian enough. He hasn't been in the party long enough. And I think it's, since we are a third party, we have to be open to the fact that people are going to change parties to Libertarian Party, but it doesn't mean that they're going to be, they literally just changed. So we need to, if they just changed, we need to inform them a little bit more, but it doesn't mean that we have to ostracize them because they haven't been here forever.
Exactly. And as the fastest growing party in the country, you know, when you have the fastest growing and people are joining your party, you have new faces. It doesn't mean they have to wait their turn. You know, and I feel like that's what we do with Bill Weld. I hate that he's leaving. Hopefully he learned something hanging around with us for a while.
Yeah.
Which it sounds like he did. And I'm all liberty all the time, as Dana said. I think she coined that phrase. And hopefully he does good things for the liberty movement. Maybe just not in the Libertarian Party.
Yeah, and we constantly battle this conundrum of the Republican Party, Libertarian Party. Mm-hmm. I mean, Rand Paul is always that, and Ron Paul too. These are the examples that we've always fallen. It seems like it's okay for some people to be Republican and go Libertarian, but we don't allow others.
The other way around, yeah. It's a common courtesy, right? Yeah. Two-way street.
Yeah.
Is it because he's from Massachusetts?
No.
I mean, I think that...
I don't think that has anything...
Well, you have to wonder if the policies of Massachusetts maybe
that's
what I mean.
lend to that.
Yeah. So maybe he's safer running as a
Republican. I think he'd be the best middle-of-the-road type person there is because, I mean, you're coming from a state that's highly Democratic and you're a Republican governor, ex-Republican governor. Mm-hmm. You think that guy would fit the bill for the Libertarian?
But I don't think it had anything to do with that. I think it had to do with the fact that he was a Republican and then he changed to the Libertarian Party. I think it was because of the timeline between when he was a Republican versus when he changed and then also ran to be a candidate. I think that was the biggest thing.
Yeah,
and then that had a huge bias against him. Yeah. And then even towards the new, the convention that we went to in 2018, people were still super against him because they had this super bias against him of, well, you're just a Republican spot. You're just a Republican, person.
Yeah.
And they just always think about him that way versus actually, hey, this is just a person that have Republican leanings, and then now actually believes more in libertarianism.
And you and I experienced that with John Stewart.
Yes,
well,
he was
a Republican
spy.
You're
right.
Are you crazy? I mean, the guy's just, and he even said it eloquently. He was like, hey man, I'm just here to help. And we're telling him, get the hell out of here.
The guy would have had less pain if he would have taken a hammer and smashed himself in the head
than
just running as a Republican. I mean, why would you jump into the Libertarian Party unless you really, really believed in what you were doing?
Yeah.
It would have been so much easier to stay a Republican for Stewart.
Not only that, but why do we give some people carte blanche to do this?
Yeah.
To switch parties.
Yeah.
But we want to nail Bill Weld to the cross for doing this.
Yeah.
I mean, let's not forget, Bill Maher calls himself a libertarian.
Right,
is he a libertarian or not?
Yeah, no.
That's too far.
He's crossed this line.
I definitely, does he ever speak at the convention? Because I don't think so. Yeah.
But I guess, just kind of sorry, but one more point.
All right, well, at least you said you're sorry.
I know. I apologize. But, okay, so what I'm saying is that, for me, it's not really about just being like, hey, there's this someone that's libertarian enough. It's just more of, and has nothing to do with being loyal to a party. Like, the Libertarian Party can, like, I agree with right now in my beliefs and my values and what I believe in life. But that doesn't mean that, one, my values might not change, and two, that the Libertarian Party's position might not change. Because if you look at the Democrats and Republicans, their party position has changed totally 180.
It's like flip-flopped with each other for 100 years.
You listen to Ronald Reagan, and you'd be like, who? That's a Republican
exactly.
Party.
Exactly. No. So you're saying that you're loyal to a party, but then your values stay the same? It doesn't make sense to me. So for me, it's like, my values might change and evolve, but at the same time, that doesn't mean that I have to be loyal to the exact same party in the exact same way that it is right now, because the party will evolve as well. But it doesn't mean that later on in my life, the values that I have in my life will also align with the values that this party has. So I don't ever agree with having 100% party loyalty.
There you go. You're a thinker.
I agree with having... What is your values? Yeah. And if I agree with someone that has similar values and they're in the Democrats or the Republicans, that'll have my vote versus somebody that's just like versus what I believe that I'm in the specific party at that point in my life.
To sum that up, I think it's basically we're the best show in town right now. We have to continue to be the best show in town for liberty. And if we're not, then the liberty movement should go somewhere else.
Yeah. I want to talk more about Bill Weld when we do the Liberty Plays podcast, hopefully in a week.
Yeah.
I know that Scott and Teresa have some strong feelings, and I have some strong feelings too, because I'm not really sure his motivation, so I think we can talk more about that when we get more in depth. This podcast, generally speaking, is supposed to be kind of a roundup of what happened at tonight's meeting, and we did have two phenomenal guests, so I want to make sure we get to that. A couple other things though, I want to talk about first. We are having elections for our group here coming up in a couple weeks, so anybody who's a good standing libertarian in the greater Peoria, the Libertarian Party of Greater Peoria, you're definitely eligible to be one of the candidates. And if somebody wants to knock Donnie off the King of the Hill,
reign of terror.
How do you feel? You feel confident going in, champ?
You know what? I feel as if I'm going to put my name out there, and if someone else comes along, I will back them 100%.
Yeah.
But I have a feeling no one's coming along.
Oh, so you think you're going to get it by default?
Yeah, but either way, it's been an honor being the chair, and honestly, I take that. I don't take that lightly. It's a burden,
It's a lot of work.
It's a lot of work, but even more so, it's about representing our group to the community, and that's been a big thing. And it's opened doors, but it's also been, stressful.
The amount of planning and stuff, and we'll get to the Liberty talk here in a second. But the amount of work you put into every
let me just
month.
So we are voting for the chair, the vice chair, the secretary, the treasurer. We are also voting for different committee positions.
Yeah.
So the Marketing and Communications Committee and the new membership director, and in addition to any subcommittees as well. So if there's like a community outreach, event planner, those are kind of some sub ones as well. In addition to ballot access, we've had that one in the past, so that's something that we would have as well. In addition to precinct director, that's something that we did have in the past. I think that we kind of have, but at the same time, that's something we would consider voting on again. So if there is anyone that's interested in voting or even like nominating themselves, that's something that we're going to especially talk about in the March meeting of nominating, saying, hey, I am interested in this specific position, either if it's incumbents or new position people. Just stating what they are looking
for. If you want a place, we've got a place for you.
Absolutely.
And we welcome to have more new faces. That's what we want,
We want to fill those volunteer hours.
Absolutely.
All right. So one of the best parts about the meeting, our monthly meeting, is the Liberty Talk.
Yeah.
And so it could vary from anything. I mean, we could be talking about eminent domain, or we could be talking about love and marriage. We could go all the way back to the ancient Sumerians and the laws written on tablets, and Donnie could somehow bring that all the way forward into libertarian ideals.
So we started showing that tablet, 4,000 years old, and it was the first marriage contract and the first prenup agreement.
Yeah.
Does anybody think that that thing is just completely bullshit? Someone made that up.
Well, the names. What were the names of the two people?
Lakeepam and Natala.
Yeah, there wasn't enough digits on that stone to come up with those names.
Were there even digits? I think they were just shapes and stuff.
Or little hash marks.
Well, I'm just going to believe what the smart
Lakeepam
people say.
But no, it was a pretty great Liberty Talk. You have to be here to hear the Liberty Talks.
That's why you're president, man.
Yeah.
That was great. Good. I loved it. It was very entertaining.
Good. Yeah. It's always good to dive into a topic. And I think that what we need to do, and why I think we do so well, and other chapters are mimicking this now, is, you know, that was a
dig. Sorry.
but now I think that the reason that's happening is because it arms us. When we're the smartest people in the room, when we know stuff about marriage, know stuff about the beginnings of that, where marriage licenses came from, how that happened, we can win any debate that we have. And that's our thing, is we need to be the smartest people in the room, you know.
Sounds great.
Yeah.
And it was a rabbit hole. You did warn us going in. And it went deep. And I'm a Catholic, and I was listening. I'm like, I don't know if he's wrong. I'm not going to correct him. That's
good. You can get in a crazy rabbit hole just looking into, any history of any holiday. Hours.
Oh, yeah, because you were going on the whole pagan angle. I'm like, all right, we got to stop this now because it's going to,
I grew up Catholic. I'm still a Catholic. And, I still, oh, my gosh, that pagan versus Catholic it is a rabbit hole you will spend multiple weeks on just investigating.
That's another podcast, I think.
I think Art Bell used to do a podcast like that. Anyway, first special guest of the night was Brandon Weisenberg.
Yes.
And it was great of him to stop in. He's running for
Peoria Heights Village Board Trustee,
yeah. Great conversation about transparency in Peoria Heights. There's seven people running for three seats.
Oh,
and, I mean, this guy, he picked Libertarian Party, and he was going at this even without our help. Mm-hmm. This guy's a strong candidate.
Well,
what can we do here?
He's great. And I will tell you this, is I love the transparency thing, because I think oftentimes when we talk about local government, people have no idea. Like, we were talking about the fire department fee, and I won't go down that rabbit hole now.
Yeah.
Gone enough down enough today. But, you know, people don't even know what's really going on or what the real story is. We get what we get from the news and what we hear from word of mouth. I love that Brandon's going to have a website where he's going to put everything out there, surmise it. Bottom line is he's got a great campaign run, and Dana and I have been helping him, and he's going to be doing a lot of door-to-door, getting out in the community.
He's looking for volunteers, right?
Volunteers, yep. And just check out our Facebook page and his website, Brandon, or Weisenberg.com.
Yeah, Weisenberg.com.
Weisenberg.com.
He owns Weisenberg.com?
He does.
I know, right? Wow. Really? I'm so jealous.
I mean, the guy's a com guy.
Plus, $1,000 to own my name. Yeah. .com. I'm like, what the heck?
Olson.com.
Yeah, DanaOlson.com is $1,000. I'm not even joking.
You should own that. You'll own that the rest of your life.
No, it costs $1,000 a year. And GoDaddy. Anyways, I do want to just, deviate from this conversation and just say something that you mentioned, is that you're that he picked Libertarian Party.
Yeah.
And I disagree with that, because he's been a Libertarian for a long time. And so it had nothing to do with him saying, oh, I think this is what I can do to win. It's more he really believed in Libertarian Party, and he was a Libertarian throughout the cash campaign and everything, even throughout the entire election. And then when he went to become, he's like, actually, here's a cause I believe in. I believe in running for this position. That's when he was like, oh, I need to get some more support and everything. And that's when he really started to kind of reach out to us a lot more and really start to utilize us a lot more. So it's not that he picked us, it's that he was already a Libertarian, but now he's utilizing our resources a little bit better.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thanks, Dana. I'm sorry.
I didn't mean to focus in on picked, but I know. It's learning.
Cool. But it would be easier in so many respects to pick one of the major parties and just glom on. I mean, he could say, I'm fiscally conservative. I'll just be a Republican and have a better shot all the way down, have tons of support, lots of resources.
Especially in a nonpartisan election, because he can go in there and just say, I'm a Republican, and people are like, I'm a Republican too.
Exactly.
But saying that you're a Libertarian, that takes guts.
And in local government, I could say I'm a Democrat right now and probably get people to believe me. In local government, it's not so glaring.
Yeah. Absolutely.
We had some dates before we get to the next speaker. So I do want to bring those up here real quick. The St. Paddy's Day parade's coming up. You guys do a great job, and for whatever reason, every time I'm busy, it's probably because I'm old and have kids and I can't do it or something like that. But I mean, float.
Yeah, we'll have at least a truck that's decorated with all of our stuff. We'll have our banner.
We'll be getting together on the 16th at your place.
Yeah, 16th. Right. Check out Facebook, and we'll be doing. We're going to put together beads that are hooked up to some sort of Libertarian Party of Greater Peoria.
Yeah, Eve and Donnie are hosting a great event.
Yes.
As usual. Yeah. Anytime there's something going on, my son refers to your place as the rich dude's house because you can see the river.
Yeah. Well,
you must be loaded.
Yeah.
That's accurate.
He should open the window when it smells because all the sewage. You know. So.
When it rains, it smells like fish.
That's why you're paying all those heavy taxes for your rooftop. Space. Anyway, the next date that we care about is the Illinois State Convention coming up on May 3rd and 4th.
Yes.
So the 3rd is kind of a meet and greet and kind of a social event, but the 4th is actually more the formal meeting?
Yeah, so they'll have speakers. Any votes that we're going to have will be there, so you just have to be a member of the state party. I think it's actually, if you're not a member of the state party, it's too late to vote.
Okay.
But state party membership is free. So by the way, if you're thinking of it now, go to lpillinois.org, sign up for free. But it's really a good time. I'm telling you that there are some amazing people in our party, and it really is just fun and nice to be with people that agree with you for once. I mean, you go into so many places where just everybody disagrees about everything. Finally, you have someone that really believes that the state shouldn't be in things, lower taxes. You know, it's a good feeling.
To be in a big room with people who think the same way like that? Man, that's crazy. And our favorite...
throw this in there. So basically, just kind of think about this in the future, is that in the 2020 election, you do need to be registered as Libertarian Party in, like, Libertarian Party of Illinois 180 days before the election.
Okay.
So in 2020, we will be nominating the presidential nominees. And that's something to kind of consider. Again, with, like, state party, you know, state senate, all those things. But presidential especially, we will be nominating that. But you have to be a member of the Libertarian Party 180 days in order to vote. So, I know that doesn't necessarily qualify now because it's past 180 days, but also think about that in the future.
But it'd be very important because we're only like a freaking year and a half away.
It's ridiculous.
From U.S. Senate and presidential nominations.
No, and all the Democratic senators are always like, I'm running.
Yeah.
There's like a billion of them.
Huge fear.
Now, our favorite Libertarian from Peoria is going to be speaking.
Oh my gosh, yeah. Jason Spires is going to be a speaker at the convention. Jason, if you guys don't know, he served 15 years on a 30-year cannabis charge. The guy is at Stanford kicking ass right now. You will hear from him again. He will be an elected official somewhere, changing the world for good. So you don't want to miss his talk. It's
absolutely
amazing.
This guy's a rocket ship, you know. And if you know him at all, and if you've seen him and heard his story, you will be changed because it's a powerful story. You said you read his book. What's his book?
So he hasn't released it. I read just but it is a professionally written book, and he wrote it in jail, man.
Really?
Yeah. So he wrote this thing in jail, and I don't want to give away too much of it, but there was a chapter where while he was in prison, he gets out. but while he was in prison, his dad started visiting him. His dad had struggled with addiction.
Yeah.
And one day his dad stopped visiting because his dad passed away. And it was one of the most emotional chapters of a book I've ever read. And I just got to tell you, this guy, so passionate, and he's going to do big things. I'm so proud of Jason. It's good to be friends with him. And it's been a blessing in my life.
Okay, so cop in there, Dana. Get it.
So not to steal Jason's thunder, but I will also be giving a speech and talk at the convention.
Did not know that.
Yeah, chapter development.
Okay.
So
it's probably one of the midday speeches.
It's going to be the speeches that no one goes to.
I'll be
so, yeah. No, it's going to be a speech on chapter development. For anyone that doesn't know what Field Ops does, Field Ops basically helps promote just libertarianism in the entire state. So we really help branch it out. And so one of our key focuses is chapter development. So that's something that I'm going to be specifically talking about and how to promote your specific chapter, how to grow it, what are some things that can help, what are some things that can hurt, and the differences even between like rural versus city versus suburban, and everything like that. So if you do have any questions or comments or anything, like even just between now and then, please feel free to reach out to me. It's Dana Olson, LP@gmail.com.
To plug Dana, I mean, she has been working with that division, but she has been instrumental in growing chapters, even our own chapter.
Can you tell she has passion?
She has a little bit of passion.
Yeah.
Just a little bit.
Muy poquito.
And so I just think if you're thinking about starting a chapter, you have a chapter that's just getting off the ground, you don't want to miss that briefing. It's going to be good. That was the military coming out, the briefing.
Is that what that was, the briefing?
Sorry.
Okay.
Yeah, that was bad.
Oh, I thought it was boxers.
I mean, maybe
briefing.
I'll do it as a briefing. I don't know.
It's a briefing.
I can do it as a presentation or a briefing. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know.
Hey, when you're talking about Spires, he does not have a plane ticket back because the party can't pay for it.
Yes.
And so it was in my head, I mean, why don't we start a GoFundMe?
That's a great idea. I think that might be something that we should do. But either way, if you guys are out there and you want to contribute, get a hold of me. I intend on making sure that he gets a ticket.
Just a few people with $20 each. Man,
exactly.
It's going to get him back and back. I mean, we don't need much.
Yeah, and it's an easy flight. I mean, I would like to just fly him into Peoria. So if we get enough, we can do that. Otherwise, cheap flight. I think San Francisco to Chicago. Come on, somebody can get him there.
Yeah,
so.
And if we raise too much, does he go first class?
I think we should send him first class.
Absolutely.
And
no,
buy him a beer.
We pay for his hotel.
Yes,
we
pay for his hotel.
Okay. All right.
Come on, guys.
All right. So. So a big chunk of tonight's meeting was dedicated to Aaron Chess. He's a candidate for the city, Peoria City Council. And actually, this coming Tuesday is when you're going to vote in the primary for this. So this is going to happen really fast. We'll get the show out here within a day. But Aaron's in a field of, what, 13 or 14 candidates?
14.
Yeah.
And then they cut it. It goes to 10. It's like, okay. Why even bother, right?
This is an impressive guy. He's graduated from Richwoods. He's 21 years old. He's taken online classes from Western in political science.
Yeah.
And, I mean, is he going to be the youngest guy if he gets elected?
He absolutely will be the youngest guy. I mean, I'm just impressed with his passion. Look, he's a young guy that I don't know if he's completely shaped his political views.
No.
And that's what's so exciting about talking to him. I've seen him
at 21. Do you remember your political views?
Hell no. Dude. I think actually yes I do. I think I voted for George Bush.
I think
so. Come on.
I think I was like ironclad, you know, that had to be one way or another. I don't think there's any nuances to your beliefs when you're 21 years old.
Absolutely not. But the fact that he's that passionate is amazing. His story about, and he didn't really touch on this, and this is kind of what drew me to him to begin with, is he lost his sister to violence in Peoria. Come on. We need someone with that voice, someone that's actually afflicted by it. You know?
I liked his thought process on education. I do believe in Peoria. Education would lead to less crime. Education would lead to more industry in Peoria.
Yeah.
You know, but it may not be tomorrow, may not be 5 years from now, but anything you do now, as far as education goes, and I'm not talking about feeding the monster 150, but being creative, doing the vocational school stuff like he's talking about, that will lead to 10 and 20 years down the road, Peoria being a better community. So.
And to be candid about Aaron, I think he's got a lot to learn, but I do think...
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, the guy, if he doesn't get through this round, I think the school board is in his wheelhouse. I could see that guy making crazy changes in the school board. So hopefully he doesn't stop and doesn't get discouraged if it doesn't hit work for him. Hopefully he gets through. I think it's a good voice to have.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not endorsing him by any means, but I think it's a good voice to have a young man on there. So what did you think, Tommy?
I thought he was a great candidate. You know, young, enthusiastic. I think he'd provide a great voice for where he comes from. I think he could relate to a large portion of the demographic in Peoria. But like you said, Donnie, I don't think he's completely formed his political views and his stance on things. But
I think there's potential there.
Yeah, absolutely. I think there's a lot of raw potential.
Yeah.
Like we'd say in the sports world, a lot of raw potential there.
He told me he's going to keep coming to the meeting. So, but we'd love to have him. I think overall the black community, libertarianism is really an answer because they've been abused by the Democrats.
Yeah.
And we are there. We've been the ones standing against mandatory minimums, against the drug war that's decimated their community.
Mm-hmm.
I really think that once they realize that they're being used and they wake up to that, the libertarian is a natural home for them. So.
Yeah. Imagine being 21 years old. Is he running as a Democrat?
Nonpartisan.
Nonpartisan.
Yeah.
But getting influence from Democrats, but then coming to a libertarian meeting and listening to everything, even your your love and marriage talk. I mean, this guy, you filled him full of ideas tonight.
I love it.
Yeah. You may have influenced this guy for the rest of his life.
I hope so. Hopefully he's our next next libertarian governor candidate, you know? I mean, you never know. So. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think it's, it seemed for me like it just, in general, like you guys definitely touched on it. We're like, oh, he hasn't really formed, but his fundamental is he just wants better for Peoria.
I
get that from like other candidates, like, oh, I just want, but like for him, like that seems like his driving motivation. Yeah. All he wants is to do what is better for Peoria. Yeah. And that's the like fundamental what I've gotten.
Yeah.
And there's been things where it's just like, oh, you know, like monetary policy or fiscal programs or just even like school programs or community programs. He, like, again, all he wants is just what's better for Peoria. So I think for him is that a lot of it has to do with it's not even, and I've even talked to people that have been like, you know, even in their 40s, 50s and everything, and still in the same, like, you know, form of mindset. And for me, it has nothing to do with his age. It just has his understanding in terms of his start into politics.
Yeah.
Of, okay, so when I do this, what is the cause and effect relationship? And I think that's something that he's still getting kind of used to, is just the cause and effect
but
relationship.
That's the beauty of youth, because as a jaded, almost 50-year-old, you know, I'd say, oh, I can't do that, because if we do that, that'll affect this or whatever. You know, when you're 21 years old, you don't think about that stuff, and you know, why do we have to say no or yet, you know?
Yeah.
But see, here's my thing, is that when I was 21 or even 18, like, I wasn't as much in politics as I was when I was, like, 2 years ago, when I actually started going to the Libertarian Party of Greater Peoria's meetings. Is when I started going to the meetings, I started becoming so much more involved in everything, and I started learning so much more. Mm-hmm. So for me, it was, I kind of considered myself a libertarian for quite a few months before that. But when I started going to the meetings, I learned so much more than I ever have, because I came involved in politics. And I think that's the breaking point, is that even if someone's in their 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, it's when they actually become involved in politics and they start paying attention to all these things. That is the thing to judge them on. Not how old they are, is that when they started paying attention.
Yeah, that's true.
Can I digress for a minute? I just want to pass this question around the table, because I think it's fun. I'll start with you, Donnie. How long have you considered yourself a libertarian?
To be honest with you...
Or how long have you had the ideals that you have and you realized you were a libertarian?
Not really as long as you would think, right? So I can tell you this, that in 2008, I remember supporting in the primary Mike Huckabee. Right? It's crazy, right?
Really?
Completely.
Wow.
But there's a reason I said that. Because I heard his idea on a fair tax. And the fair tax is a consumption-based tax. You repeal all other taxes. And I came from that point, and I thought, that is a great idea. There's no force in that. And it was that idea that kind of twisted my political views into there shouldn't be force. And then I heard Ron Paul, and it didn't catch on until after the 2008 campaign. But that was when I realized, oh shit, I'm a libertarian. Mm-hmm. But I have to credit that fair tax idea for really getting me into that mindset. So, what about you? All right, we're going around.
Yeah.
Oh, going counterclockwise.
Yeah,
okay.
Let's go counterclockwise. Counterclockwise.
You know, I was all about Ross Perot when I was a kid, and the Reform Party and Ross Perot. He was all about balanced budget, and so, you know, you were getting kind of. One subject is what brought you in with Mike Huckabee. In the balanced budget, at the time, Ross Perot was really pushing, you know, look, here's the graphs. I'm going to buy an hour of time on network TV, and I'm going to show you guys, I'm going to educate you about what's going on with the economy. And I saw value in that. I'm like, you know what? This guy makes a lot of sense. But I looked on both sides, and my dad, I don't even know, my dad has never told me what he's voted in his entire life, but I assume he's a Republican. My mom was a Democratic judge, so I had an idea. She was probably a Democrat. But I never identify with either party. And honestly, I don't know that I was even a huge Johnson guy. I'm trying to remember how Jake and I ended up at the first meeting with the Greater Peoria guys. It was before you showed up.
Yeah.
And maybe it was when Gary Johnson was running. I said, you know what? I'm sick of these two clowns on either side. And Johnson was just a nice guy who had experience, had some good, solid ideas. I'm like, I'm putting my horse on this. So... you know, we were talking earlier when we were getting into the Bill Weld conversation, and even in the meeting, you know, does liberty have to be in the Libertarian Party, or can it be a Republican or whatever? I'm a Libertarian now because I believe this is the best party. So will that change in 5 or 10 years? But like we talked about,
yeah,
hard to say.
Yeah.
But I think this is a place where I'm going to, you know, I'm resting.
And I think that we get in this bubble because we're all political junkies a little bit. But most people aren't like that, right? So like my great-grandma, and I speak of her often because she was just a great woman, donated to Republican candidates all the time. But she, when Obama was running against John McCain, she could not understand how a guy who was a community organizer could get elected over a war hero. It had nothing to do with policy.
Oh, okay.
It had to do with how can you look at those two individuals, yeah, and their past and who they are.
Sure.
And that is, a lot of people don't care about policies.
Yeah.
They may be in a party, and we see that, there's identity politics. But sometimes it's just they want to have a good person and a decent human being running. Just like to your point with Gary Johnson. You looked at Clinton, you looked at Trump.
Yeah.
Hell no.
No.
I'll take anyone over those two.
No, insanity on both sides. Yeah. I mean, the extremes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. All right, my story. Okay, so I grew up around Chicago in the Chicagoland suburbs, and it was Democrat. Even I have some family members that are very involved in the Catholic Church. Like, I actually have paying jobs from the Catholic Church, and they're also Democrat. So I kind of always grew up as, hey, this is Democrat, because that's what everyone does. And as I went into college and everything, and I started hearing more perspectives and dating different people, I kind of got a little bit more in tune with the Republican Party. And I also majored at first and then decided to minor in it in economics. So I kind of had a little bit of basic understanding of it. And then in the 2016 election, I voted in the primaries. I voted in the primaries as a Republican, but in the actual election, I decided not to vote. And I 100% regret that. It's something that I hate saying, that I did not decide to vote, but I decided not to vote because I hated every single candidate.
Huh.
I hated Hillary Clinton for being the war hawk and corrupt politician she was, and I hated Donald Trump as the human being he was. So it was like I couldn't vote. And I realized now that was actually a terrible decision just to not vote, and I should have done that. So something that I really regretted, I started kind of listening to different radio shows, political things and everything, and throughout the entire 2016 election, I was really listening to a lot of podcasts, radio shows, and I think I've told this to some people, but Ben Shapiro is actually the reason I became a libertarian. And it's funny because he's like the quintessential conservative, you know, super Republican, super conservative guy, but he kept saying, he's like, I'm libertarian on these issues. I'm libertarian on this. I'm libertarian on that. I'm like, every single time he would say that, I'm like, I agree. And then when he wouldn't say that, I'm like, I don't know if I agree with that. Like, what are you talking about? I don't know if I agree. And so I started looking really into the Libertarian Party. I'm like, oh my gosh. So really, it was because of the 2016 election and Ben Shapiro being the conservative he was and admitting that he was libertarian on some issues, that's the reason I became a libertarian. And so in 2016, that's where I was like, I felt that I'm a libertarian after the actual election itself. So maybe literally after the election, I'm like, I started really looking into it because I was so upset with the fact that I didn't vote. And then it took me quite a few months to actually go to a libertarian meeting, and then I went to a libertarian meeting, and I've just been hooked ever since.
We've had her ever since.
We have.
Yeah.
It's been an amazing pathway.
It's been fun. So
And I would recommend, honestly, she's 100% right. Podcasts are amazing.
Yep. You
know, not just this one, of course.
Yeah.
but there are so many good
libertarian podcasts. Yeah, we weren't listed on that podcast.
Yeah, and I told him. I even said to Alex Merced, I was like, hey, Liberty Plays podcast.
Yeah.
And he didn't. So,
all right, Tom.
Yeah.
What's your story, bud?
Short and sweet, man. 2008, Arizona. I would say the community that I was living in South Scottsdale is is kind of a libertarian hotbed.
Is it?
And I was tending bar off of ASU campus, and I had a Ron Paul volunteer come in the bar with some flyers, and to keep my patrons from it, I said, get on out of here now. Just get.
This is not where the story was going, I didn't think.
It looks like get off my lawn.
Before he left, he put down a
clip.
He put down a stack of flyers.
Yeah.
I picked up a flyer, and I said, I can't believe I just kicked this guy out.
Yeah.
I liked it. I talked to some friends that were libertarian, and they got me on, our classic libertarian questionnaire.
Yeah. Where,
well, you like government out of your life, don't you? And this and that. And ever since 2008.
It's interesting. Arizona is a very libertarian state.
Oh, yeah.
Our chairman, Nick Sarwar, he's from Arizona, too. I mean, it's, yeah.
Yeah, you think, I mean, a lot of the Western states are, it's self-reliance.
It's the Wild West,
yeah,
right?
And that's, yeah, and that's, and so if you're self-reliant and you believe you should, you know, the government shouldn't be interfering in your property and your guns and all that stuff, then you would think the Libertarian Party would be where you'd fall all the time. So that is all I got for tonight, so I think we're going to wrap this thing up.
Let's do it.
We've had a pretty good show.
Yeah.
We don't. We normally save the heavy commentary for the Liberty Plays podcast.
Yeah, but we're here.
That's okay.
Yeah.
Couple notes. Buy tiers. You know, we fund our organization here with these great little koozies. You get libertarian, or you can get Democratic tiers and Republican tiers,
yes,
in a koozie form, and you can drink your favorite beverage in them.
And they're both delicious, too.
Absolutely delicious.
I'm not going to lie, they're even more delicious when you're drinking them in front of your Republican or Democrat friends.
Oh, yeah. Especially
during
election
night. Looking
on
the face, and you're like, ha ha.
Yeah.
Yeah, you definitely want to get a couple sets before the next election.
Makes a conscious decision which koozie you're going to pull out in front of your friends, you know.
Oh, yeah. I bring both just in case. Yeah. Pick one out, depending on the crowd, yeah.
You can get those on our website, libertyplays.com. You can also get them on our Facebook page. A great deal. Definitely helps the group, too. What is the website again, guys?
Libertyplays.com.
All right. We're going to have a new Liberty Plays podcast with extended commentary on Mr. Weld and some other things coming out soon.
Eric, one more thing.
What's that?
We have our next meeting in March.
Mm-hmm.
It is going to be the...
March 14th.
March 14th. And then we have the Tazewell.
March 12th.
March
12th.
So this will, week of Liberty.
We have tried so hard this year to have a Tazewell County meeting, but God has intervened every time. We had blizzards. So hopefully there's no blizzards on March 12th. Come down to the West Dublin Pub and meet some other Tazewell County libertarians. Should be a good time. And there'll probably be some Peoria libertarians there.
We'll be there.
The West Dublin Pub's a great place, so come on down.
Yeah.
And then we will also be at the St. Patrick's Day Parade on the 17th.
Yeah, absolutely.
And the parade starts at 2 p.m., so we'll probably be lining up at least 2 hours before then.
Yeah.
So stop by anytime before that.
And Donnie will do live videos like he always does.
Yes, yep. Yes.
Check out our
I don't
Facebook
do them
page.
As well as you, but.
Oh, whatever.
Check out our Facebook page for more.
You're learning, Donnie. You're learning. All right. Again, tune in. LibertyPlays.com. That's the website. Again, this is Eric Stahl.
Donnie Henry.
Tom Inman.
Dana Olson.
We'll see you next time.
Bye.
Bye.